flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, ticket giveaway Friday. Eagles, Washington, big game happening. We all know it. We gave you one name yesterday. We're going to give you another name that you can know to win the tickets right now.
And the name is...
Chad Lewis. We've got an Eagles...
I would have guessed that one.
NFC Championship theme thing going here yesterday, or this week. Yesterday we gave you an 80 name. Today we give you an 04 name. You can expect a 17 and 22 name, but don't expect it always to be the best player. Seltzer, I can't make it that easy.
I'm with you, buddy.
Chad Lewis wasn't the best player, but he scored 2 touchdowns
You're
in that
damn
game.
Right,
yes, he did.
2 touchdowns.
And broke his foot.
He
called it the best worst day of his life. Whatever.
What was
yes.
it, John?
It was his plantar fascia.
Okay, well. Joe,
trivia question.
Yes, sir.
You will know this, but I don't know if anybody else will.
Okay.
When Chad Lewis tore his plantar fascia, John, you can't answer either if you're on the team. Yeah. If when Chad Lewis tore his plantar fascia in the NFC Championship game and knew he couldn't play in the Super Bowl, who did he recommend to Andy Reid to sign, who wasn't on a team all year, to play in the Super Bowl?
I know it too. Yeah, I think we all know it.
Who is it?
Oh.
Touchdown T. Yeah.
Rhea doesn't know. No. Devin?
I have no idea. I'm sorry.
Seltzer knows. Seltzer, who is it?
Jeff Thomason.
Yeah. Jeff Thomason.
Touchdown T.
The Thomason T.
That's right. So here's the thing a lot of people would probably forget. While it was a really cool story, and he came, I think, from Toll Brothers right off the street of construction.
Oh, that's right, the construction.
Yeah, and he hadn't played for 2 years. The problem was he had a massive holding penalty at the end of the first half on a kick return, which is why the Eagles sat on the ball at the end of the first half instead of go for it when there had been a good kick return by probably that J.R. Reed guy, whatever that guy's name was.
God, what a career he would have had if he hadn't toured.
Reed.
Remember, he was jumping over a fence?
Something bad, yeah. He was a good guy, too. All right, so anyway, know the name Chad Lewis for Friday, and know the 4 names we say this week, and with those names, you can win tickets to the Eagles game versus Washington.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
We'll give them away Friday at 8 o'clock. You can get to the game. All right, to the phones. JB in Chestnut Hill. Good morning, JB.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, John, ladies.
What's up, JB?
What up?
Yo, what's up, Ross? Another thing, with all the snow that won't go anywhere, John, did you know that there is a snowman that's over 10 feet tall that's made every year? Or 10 stories tall.
That doesn't seem...
10 stories?
10 stories is really...
No, where?
Yeah, there's two. There's one. I think one's in Maine somewhere and one's in Austria, and they compete. There's one of them has the record. I'm not exactly sure. I know it's over 100 feet.
Like, wow, that's wild, man. Like that.
It's insane.
He's right, 122 feet in Maine, Bethel, Maine.
That's pretty cool.
Ooh, that sounds amazing. So they use a crane to put the head
on it? It looks like Austria beat them. Austria 124.8 a couple years ago. So he's right, it's those two battling.
Wow.
Austria beat them.
Austria
I love that.
Versus
124
Maine.
Foot snowman. Think about that's 12 basketball hoops on top of each other.
No, I'm just thinking about like the giant snowball that becomes the head. How do you get that on there?
Very carefully.
All right, JB, what do you got on the Eagles?
As far as the birds, Joe, I got a bone to pick up. Joe, I agree with you, first of all. Get rid of the flowers nonsense. I'm tired of that comment. So, I think if you look at the way that the Lions game went, it was a track meet. And it was a lot of behind the linebacker throws, which favors AJ because, as we used to call, or at least older football players would call, that show, that simulated, it's really just show blitz. You throw behind with slants and quick hitch throws, which is what Detroit was doing well, and then they were throwing the ball to Gibbs out of the backfield. So I think a sneaky guy to watch this weekend might be Kenneth Gainwell. I know it's crazy, but if you catch him out of the backfield or Saquon catching the ball out of the backfield, that's going to be a huge deal.
Well, I think in particular, if the Eagles want to run it a ton but don't want to run Saquon 35 times, if Jalen is compromised, yeah, Gainwell could get 12
to 15. He had a couple nice plays in the game over there.
Guys,
yeah.
Let's give the guy credit. He's had a good year.
Yeah, every time he touches the ball, it's a positive play.
I mean, we were very down on him last year. He has had an entering free agency. He's had a very solid year.
And he looks faster.
He does.
And more.
Looks good.
He's very quick. And the Lions were somewhere in the neighborhood. I mean, you could take that long run out by Williams. It was like 60 yards. But they in the neighborhood, Gibbs and the other runner, it was like 7 yards per carry. Run the ball, a lot of screen work because Gibbs got a lot of screen work too. And then that opens up.
Well, the Eagles don't run screen good, so let's just start with that. They're horrible at it.
That is true.
Horrible.
So the, before I give you my photo thing, as a guy who was a very, very common resident at the Jug, at Father Judge. Jug does not need to hang. We were told.
I thought it was Yugum. Yugum, to hang someone.
Yugum with a J in Latin is to burden, and you go to Judge to release to Jug.
I can't believe you came up with to hang.
It's real hard.
I was like, what?
Well, it might have been an urban legend, but that was what was going around town. All right, JB, I appreciate the Latin knowledge. That's well done by you. Give me an iconic still image from a movie.
You took Latin.
Yeah, I did, but I didn't get as far as...
You took Latin in high school.
That's such a good point.
Yeah, I didn't get to hanging. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I took French and knew that, and you took Latin.
All right, give me an iconic image from a movie.
How about the ending of Rocky III when they hit each other and it makes the painting?
It's a real freeze frame.
All right.
An actual real one.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
I've seen that 50,000 times.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Just that freeze frame scene. That was on Prism.
No,
that was on Prism every day.
Prism.
How many times did you argue who won the fight? How many times have you had that discussion?
Wait, which fight?
The one that we don't see.
Rock and Apollo.
Yes. Like, how many times?
We found out
years later. I know that it was Apollo, but
I never argued it.
Really?
No.
For someone who talked about if the hat fell off, you don't talk about the hypothetical fight that the movie ends with.
Nah.
All right.
Apollo just wiped the floor with
him. Yeah, I think so.
Apollo was a better fighter.
It's not even close.
Not even close.
Apollo's better at everything. Just think back to the. The breezy stride on the beach.
Oh my goodness!
As Sly is just chugging away as hard as he possibly can. You got Carl Weathers just gently,
majestically
jogging,
gliding
beside
him.
And he's trying to slow it down for the camera.
I know, and
I respect that. All right, so let's get Russ. I want to get to this Jaden Daniels. Just dynamic. I mean, my God. So I said earlier, Russ, two main ways I think the Eagles lose, and I don't think the Eagles will lose. But two main ways if they lose that I think something from the game could manifest. Jalen not being as effective because of the knee and the impact on the offense. And the second is if Jaden Daniels just goes wild and plays phenomenal, as sometimes young athletes in big spots do. Josh Beckett did it with the Marlins in 03. Magic did it with the Lakers in 80. Tim Duncan did it in 99 with the Spurs. I mean, sometimes a young guy is just way ahead of the curve. Before we get your thoughts, Ross, I want to get to something Ron Jaworski said to us. This goes back about a month and a half ago. Jaws, I don't know if this was November or December, but Jaws said this to us about Jaden Daniels earlier in the season.
When you look at Jaden Daniels, there's not a thing he can't do. He makes every throw. He's got great anticipation. He can run. He just got... I talked to some guys yesterday. I said, to me, he's like a mini Randall Cunningham. Randall was bigger and taller. And I used to nickname Randy Gumby because he was kind of that loosey-goosey kind of guy. And if you watch Jaden Daniels right now, he's kind of a mini Randall.
All right, now I want to play a different piece of audio because that was something Jaws said to us earlier this week. I want to go back to what he said to us earlier in the season. Here's what Jaws said earlier this year. Jaden Daniels, how good is he?
I don't want to overblow what I'm going to say, but I will. He's the best rookie quarterback I have ever seen, Joe.
That's a big wow, Joss.
I've seen a lot of him. I came in this league in 1973. I've been around a long time. The guy has been absolutely phenomenal. There's his calmness, his ability to throw the ball deep, short, his anticipation. I watch his feet. He's very calm in the pocket. And he's a guy that kind of plays with a smile on his face. He's enjoying playing football. And he seems to have rallied the Washington Commanders, and where he's the guy that is their future. He's,
wow.
He's really been outstanding. His ability to extend the play, read coverage, throw accurately. I mean, it's remarkable for a rookie. I've been just blown away.
All right, Ross, I think the Eagles are going to win, but I'm aware this guy could snatch it from them. How good is he?
Yeah, I mean, he's already pretty clearly a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, and I think with how he's playing in the postseason, I think he's trying to push the conversation into already being one of the top five.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he's five, literally five, behind in whatever order you put Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar, and Josh Allen. He may be five right now, and that poses a problem.
Well, it's a short-term and long-term problem.
That's correct.
He's not going anywhere. The thing that's so wild about it is, I don't know if we talked about this during the regular season, but, you know, during the pre-draft process, okay, I don't pretend to be a quarterback guru.
Yep.
So I have all these guys come on, you know, my Ross Tucker podcast, and it's like Phil Sims and Orlovsky and Lewis Riddick and Greg Cosell and Chase and blah, 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 Sean King. I would say all of them either said they liked him more than Caleb Williams, or they kind of intimated it when you heard him talk. Like, I could see that he was clearly a much better runner. And then they were all telling me he's obviously a better pocket passer and pure progression reader. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, so what's Caleb Williams better at?
Right.
And Caleb Williams is better at throwing on the move like crazy Mahomes throws, right? Like where he's running hard to his right, steps up, and then flicks it with his wrist. But, man, I feel like the Bears really messed up. It's crazy. It's also crazy, by the way. Think about this. By far the two best rookie receivers in the NFL, by far, Malik Nabers for the Giants,
yep.
Brian Thomas for the Jags, both rookies from LSU. How did LSU lose three games last year? They had Jaden Daniels and those two receivers, and they lost three games. The thing is, too, and I said this yesterday, Joe, on social media, I was talking with someone from the Commanders about this, okay? We went through it. Four or five, if you're really pushing it, maybe six guys for the Commanders would start for the Eagles.
Wow.
If you went position by position.
Well, the Eagles are a way better team. I believe that. I really do.
However, one of them right now is the quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think Dan Quinn has done an unbelievable job of getting so many guys like Dante Fowler and Frankie Louvu and Dorrance Armstrong, so many guys to play better than they ever have. It's really, really impressive. We want the Eagles to kill them, and they're a division rival and all those things, but if they were in the AFC or whatever, you have to admire how they've turned this around as quickly as they have. Primarily because of just the quarterback and the coach.
Yeah, no, it has been, from their standpoint, it has been impressive. Does it make you feel...
waving as you're jogging by? Yeah. There's a Fiero. There's a red Pontiac Fiero cruising by. Hi, 80s.
Pontiac Fiero.
Okay, Richie. John, so you're really happy, and I'm happy when you're happy. Does it make you bummed out to know that's 40 years ago?
Oh.
Wait, way to bring us down.
40?
Way to bring us down, buddy.
40? Devin wasn't even born.
Yep. Thank you.
I wasn't.
Thank you for this.
Oh, 40 years ago.
I wasn't, and yet I still think of the 80s as like 20 years ago.
Well,
like imagine living through them, Devin.
That's a weird comment to react to. I don't know how to react
that's
crazy. To that. All right,
I feel the same way, though. It feels like the 80s were 20 years ago.
Don't you think of the 90s as what, like 10, 15 years ago versus 30?
Yes.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, well. All right, Twitter poll question. I want to get to this because Hall of Fame yesterday. So Twitter poll brought to us by Armand Chevrolet. Check out Armand's selection of quality one-owner pre-owned vehicles at armandchevy.com. That's armandchevy.com. Together, let's drive. I feel like there hadn't been much build up yesterday to the Baseball Hall of Fame voting. I don't know why. Just kind of maybe because we were focused so much on the Eagles. But Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins both fell short again of the Hall of Fame. Now, congrats to the three guys that got in, Ichiro and CC Sabathia.
My favorite non-Phillies player,
Ichiro.
Awesome.
I loved him.
Who doesn't?
I love the guy.
I mean, and the problem was living here, you know, it wasn't like we got to see.
I know.
Whenever they played here, like on this side of the country.
I know.
I was like, I'd go out to a sports bar, you know, before you had, I just loved watching him
he
play.
He fell one vote short yesterday of being the second player.
Silly. I want that person.
I hate this stuff.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. So, and then there should be 50 people that are unanimous.
It's so silly. Like,
I know.
It's the dumbest thing.
But for those that don't know, he fell one vote short of being a unanimous.
Outrageous.
In. And the only guy to get it was Rivera? Or
Mariano Rivera is the Rivera. Only person. Jeter tied with the same one vote
ridiculous.
Short.
All right, anyway. So
and Billy Wagner.
Yeah, I'm getting Ichiro, CC Sabathia, and Billy Wags make it. Now, Utley, 39% of the vote. You need 75%.
He'll get there.
Utley, 39%. Jimmy got 18%. Here's our poll question. Should Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins be in the Hall of Fame? Four choices here. Yes, both of them. Choice B, Utley only. Choice C, Rollins only. Choice D, neither of them should make it. So you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. We'll see where it goes by the end of the show. Let me give you a Phillies-Eagles correlation here for a moment. So you guys know I have concern, obviously, and I think we all should, to some extent, on Jalen and the knee as it relates to the game. Now, I tend to think the Eagles still win anyway, but I can't gloss over the fact that Jeff Hoffman clearly had to have been injured when he was a fiasco in the playoffs in October for the
Phillies.
How
would you possibly know that, Joe?
Right, exactly. So for those that don't know, and this news fell a little under the radar over the holidays. So Hoffman,
a lot under the radar,
yeah,
I would say, yeah.
Hoffman went elsewhere. He signed with Toronto. Got solid money, 30-something million.
For 33.
All right, good for him. Could have been higher. Here's why.
Yeah, there are actually, it's 3 for 33 max.
Here's where we know it could have been higher. Prior to him getting that deal with the Blue Jays, he reportedly failed not one but two physicals. He failed two physicals. Now, this is a guy that I totally liked and we all depended on. He was great as a Phil with a 2.17 ERA in 2024. This past year, 2.17. But something must have happened before the playoffs. In three different appearances, not one spot, two spots, three different games, he had an ERA in the postseason of 40.5.
Do you think he told them he was injured?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Because
yeah. I know.
It just was so stark.
I know.
But the minute I was driving somewhere and I heard the news and I go, God,
yeah.
He was injured.
You want a curse.
Yeah.
He was injured in the postseason. Yeah. So I say that to say, you know, we all want to hope the Eagles just plow through the Jalen thing.
Blaine
Bishop's another one. Hopefully Jalen's not that hurt.
Yeah.
But, like, you never know. And he's the quarterback. I mean, he's more important than Jeff Hoppin hopefully giving you an inning.
This is way more important.
So it does worry me. Ross, how much does it worry you? I know you talked earlier, you think it could be a meniscus. How much does it worry you?
Yeah, a decent amount. Because he wasn't really playing that well fully healthy, you know, before this happened. I think what's so interesting to me about it, watching that game Sunday, I don't know if you guys felt this at all, but there were a couple times when he ran and I thought he was sliding pretty early. And I remember thinking, man, this is the playoffs.
Pre like, or post injury? Pre?
Pre-injury.
Okay.
Pre-snow. Hmm. Pre-injury. He was sliding feet first pretty early, and there were times where I thought, you know what, man? I mean, you're strong as heck. Pick an edge on the guy and run through him.
Do you think it was like because of the concussion?
You know they told him to protect himself all week
I agree
long.
With you, John.
Because the last time he got knocked out of the game against the Commanders.
That's what
I think. They have been riding him. Never head first. Slide. Slide early.
I think you're right on this, John. I agree with you there.
Okay. So that's fine. The point I want to make, though, is first of all, I think we can have a discussion about that since these are, I mean, it's a divisional round of the playoffs.
Sure, I get it. Yeah.
Because I also think if you pick an edge on the guy, I don't think you're going to get hurt. You know what I mean? Like if you run through the outside armpit of a guy, I think you're actually, you could almost argue you're safer. I've seen a bunch of quarterbacks get hit this year in the head sliding. Okay,
well, there's no way that any offensive coach is taking that perspective. Like, hey, if they have the choice, they're going to say, don't get hit.
But then my point is this, the play where he got hurt, I can't remember the exact play, but he was definitely being conservative and trying to not get hit. And yet on that play, I have to go back and watch it. Do you guys recall exactly how it went down?
No.
That he got twisted down when he had been previously to that super conservative in trying to make sure he wasn't hit. It's kind of weird to me then that he does get hurt in that game when he had been trying to be so conservative, not getting hurt. That I think sometimes when guys are overly aware of trying to protect themselves, it actually has the opposite effect.
I think that's
and
the
that
story
maybe you're
of the
more
season,
aggressive
Ross.
If you go.
I think that's the story of Jalen Hurts taking a step back this year. He's too conservative. He's too worried about turning the ball over.
Both throwing and running, and right?
Yeah,
both throwing
yeah.
and running.
And it's actually been detrimental to his bottom line, his production. But he's still not turning the ball
over.
No,
he doesn't.
That's yeah. what they value above all else. His play has actually suffered. His play has gotten less productive, but he's maintained that bottom line that he's not turning it over. There's so much that he can work on. There's so much he can get better. That's why I take solace in this. I'm encouraged by how much better he can play, and I know that's on the horizon eventually. But right now, this is good enough.
All right, so it's certainly been good enough to this point. We'll see what happens on Sunday. Ross, let's get you, as you head out the door here, double prediction. We'll start Bills, Chiefs, and then Eagles, Washington. What do you say?
Yeah, so Bills, Chiefs, thought a lot about this. And I think you guys know my favorite team I played for was the Bills. You know, Steve Young and the Niners could not beat Aikman and the Cowboys until they did. Peyton Manning and the Colts could not beat Tom Brady and the Patriots until they did.
Yeah, 06.
I think it's time. I think it's time for the Bills. They have not been able to get over the hump against the Chiefs. This is not a great Chiefs team. They've been beating people because people beat themselves. Like the Texans, they were a bunch of stupid penalties and sacks. I think the Bills get it done. I think the Bills finally get over the hump and get it done in Kansas City. I think it's an awesome game, probably like 24-23, maybe even not that many points, but I think the Bills get it done. And then for the Eagles, I guess I have a lot of faith in Vic Fangio and this defense. I really do. I think that they will be able to run the ball if they stick with the run. And I think that's extremely impressive what the Commanders did Saturday night in Detroit, but Detroit gave up crazy explosive plays all over the place, and the Lions turned it over a million times. Eagles aren't going to turn it over. They're not going to give up explosive plays. They are going to go to the Super Bowl. They're going to win the game 27-20 Birds.
Love it. Ross, have a great time. Obviously, good luck with your broadcast, and thanks, man. We'll talk to you next week, Ross. Good stuff.
Yeah, I can't wait. See you guys.
All right, there he
thanks,
is, Ross Tucker. All right, 215-592-9494. If you haven't stepped outside yet, one of two things. Either don't, because it's so cold,
yes.
Or bundle up. Devin, how brutal was it stepping out today?
It is freezing cold out there. Like, it's painful.
It is painful. It's
all
really...
All I could think was, thank goodness the Eagles don't play today.
Right. Well, yeah. And James, were you the one that said Sunday's the warmest day around here?
Rhea, I believe, said that. Yeah.
And it's
40 degrees.
So that's fine.
I'll take it.
It's going to be balmy.
I'll take it.
Kidding me?
Yeah. Compared to this?
And Rhea, what are we at right now?
We are at 11.
Holy mackerel.
Have you noticed in my updates, I go, 11.
Yeah. All right. Be careful with the cold. It is crazy. All right. Something that Michael Clay said yesterday, a theory about Jake Elliott and the kicks. We're going to get to that shortly. And Mike Quick joins us in 10 minutes. Let's go to Ken and Cineminson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing well, Ken.
So, Joe, I got a retirement book from my team in Canton, Ohio that would probably interest you. It's this
nice.
Day in Philadelphia Sports.
What's it? Oh, I have that book, I think, where it's like memorable things that happen on certain anniversaries.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I bought that during the pandemic because we were doing a This Day in Sports History because we had, you know, no sports. So we were doing This Day in Sports History.
That was a fun time to try to do updates every
Listen.
Morning. You have no idea. I was getting in at
updates.
Like 2 in the morning.
How about a 4-hour show, which you and I both had to
yes.
do? I mean, holy hell. But no, Ken, I think I know the book you're talking about. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. On this day in 1992, Charles Barkley pulled down his 6,642nd rebound to become the all-time leader in rebounds for the 76ers.
Huh. All right, very
there
good.
There you go.
Very
momentous
good.
Day.
There you go. And then the Sixers traded him a couple months later.
Can't forget where you were for that one.
All right, Ken, what do you got on the Birds?
Listen, obviously, Jalen's knee injury is not ideal, but you know, I think the key difference between this week and, you know, the Washington game last time they played when Jalen went out after 11 plays is whatever his limitations and capabilities are, they've got an entire week to install a game plan around that. And I think Dan Quinn is not stupid enough to assume that he's not going to have to account for Jalen in the run game. So I think it's safe to assume that the Redskins the Commanders mm-hmm. believe they are going to have to account for Jalen in the run game.
I don't know about that. I think they're probably preparing both ways, knowing that they'll assess in the first drive or two what he's got, and then that influences the way they play it the rest of the game. I don't think we can know yet whether Jalen is going to have turn-the-corner capabilities. I don't know. I mean, well, I certainly don't know. I don't know how Washington would know.
The way he was, frankly, giddy when that game ended, I've never seen him like that, leads me to wonder if he maybe didn't have some Percocets in him or something.
Well,
like
it might have just been such great relief that his season was still alive. I mean, we were all giddy because, you know, there was very little Jalen could do at the end of the game when he's sitting on the bench, because it's like the Eagles' defense either going to stop the Rams or not. I mean, you know, to a certain extent, it eventually was out of Jalen's hands. So I would think a lot of that was just basic relief.
The coach is talking like it's a non-starter. The question whether he will be ready or not.
Well,
he said he is our
to
quarterback.
Play.
The fact that he, to Nick Sirianni, who always keeps it so close to the vest, like he really doesn't want to divulge anything.
I think he's trying to instill confidence in the team that Jalen's
going. It's
just
very matter of fact. He's good to go. I think that's a big part
of
this.
James,
this time of year, it makes a difference.
Yeah, the line is going up, which
it's the playoffs.
I think if you're looking for a positive with Jalen, like they usually know what's going on with the line
sometimes
setting and all that. Usually, or
no
at least
doubt.
Like you'll know from a line whether they think a quarterback's going to play, how effective. Like you can at least get an idea of it.
All right,
and
Ken,
that line continues to grow.
Ken, give me an answer and an iconic still image from a movie.
It's become a pretty popular meme, but a great freeze frame for me would be Henry Hill laughing his head off in Goodfellas.
Yeah, sure.
Great.
That's a good answer right there. No question. The Joe Pesci scene. All right, I want to get to not one but two different Eagles assistant coaches, because two different things were said yesterday that were pretty interesting. Let's start with Kellen Moore on the impact of Jalen's knee. Make of this what you will. Here's what he said yesterday.
John, when you don't know exactly how mobile Jalen's going to be going into a game, how much does that change the game planning aspect?
Same game plan formula. Obviously, like any players on our team, if you have to make adjustments as weeks progress or games progress, you do, but very similar plan.
All right, so he covers every eventuality. Same game plan, unless we got to change it. So, I mean, like, to me, that and I'm not ripping him. That's a smart answer. That puts Washington in a bind if they're trying to discern what gets said in Philadelphia to try to figure out something. Kellen Moore just told you it could be anything. Same game plan, unless we got to change it. So, good answer.
They're not listening to these press conferences to try to figure out.
You know what? Sometimes
what
you do. Hinkie made some trades. I mean, remember some of that stuff? He would hear GMs would say stuff. And, you know, sometimes teams tip things off.
Could we get Hinkie back to do the tanking properly?
Well, listen, that's a whole different matter. How about the time Jimmy Johnson knew the Bills were going to run a certain play to Thurman Thomas in the Super Bowl because he saw the Bills practice in B-roll of a newscast.
No
it's
way.
It's these guys'
yes.
job.
And that's why they jumped in on Thurman Thomas and got a fumble.
It's these guys' job.
They hadn't ran that play the whole year, and Jimmy Johnson was in his hotel and saw a play on the TV screen in the background of a reporter's report, and they jumped in and got a fumble from
Thomas.
Now
that's why they close it to the media.
Wait,
I mean, it's the same type of thing with Howie, knowing the league. Like when he traded up for Wentz, he knew that that the Rams were taking Goff. He wouldn't have done all that to go up to two to get somebody he didn't know he was going to get.
I agree.
Like they know these things.
So you try.
I don't think it's that surprising seeing that play that he had never seen before. Yeah. It does catch your eye. It's a new formation. They've been scrutinizing every ounce of tape they have for the last, you know, however long.
Right.
He recognizes that's a new formation. That's a new person.
They ran it three times in that game.
Holy cow. Yeah. We need to figure out a way to stop that. Yeah, that's
really
shuffle. Smart.
It was a shuffle pass is what it was. They hadn't run it that year, and they did three times in the Super Bowl. All right. Wow. Let's get to Michael Clay. This also was, I thought, very interesting. So he gives Jake Elliott a lot of praise. So if you missed it yesterday on our program, Sirianni, totally standing by Jake Elliott. He's the kicker. And I did not expect Sirianni to give us an answer otherwise. But
I thought Nick Sirianni did a great job defending his kicker.
I agree with you.
When he was asked if there's a like a crisis of conscience, like if he's not confident in his own ability to put the ball through the uprights any longer, he actually turned it around to say that he's actually encouraging Coach Sirianni with the way
he's looking at this. I don't believe it, but I think it's a
Nick
smart thing.
A nice job.
I agree.
Trying to
framing
help
it.
Him believe it.
Yeah.
I actually think it might help him pull out of this to some degree.
Look, that's possible.
Thinking about it that way.
Maybe. I just thought it was a lot of coach speak where he doesn't want to rip the player publicly.
Well, definitely.
I mean, I would think he's got to be concerned. But anyway, make of it what you will. But he stood by Jake Elliott publicly, as did Michael Clay yesterday. However, Michael Clay said something very interesting that was a theory on perhaps why Jake Elliott missed some of those kicks. Listen to what Michael Clay said.
What are you seeing on those extra points?
Yeah, the first one, he was way too fast with it. And, you know, for myself, to get these guys put in more game-like situations, those two that he missed were off sudden change. You know, big play, so you don't get that same type of methodic drive where you're going through your same process. It's more just understanding for them, like, you do see number 26 back there. He could take it 80 yards in a blink of an eye, so we just got to make sure we stay true to our process and not speed up with the adrenaline of the game that'll get you to go quick. So nothing, you know, overbearing that I saw from him. We just got too quick on it, and he pulled the left.
I mean,
that happens a lot, actually. The operation time, they keep track of all of this stuff. You know, every time he kicks it in practice, in games, they've got a stopwatch on it. They're not only timing the snap, but they're timing snap to hold.
Mm-hmm.
They're timing snap to hold to kick. They've got all of these things. So when he says, yeah, he was fast, a lot of times that's what'll happen. These kickers, when they're missing, they get in their own head to where they're rushing their approach. They're rushing, you know, just a little early. Mm-hmm. They're getting to the ball. They're striking the ball up, I don't know, a tenth of a second earlier than they normally would. And that is the difference.
And I think what he's also saying is because the Eagles scored so fast from far away, practice on the sideline.
He's not warming up.
Devin, how often is he practicing? Like, when we're not seeing Jake Elliott practice, mm-hmm. but you're on the sidelines, mm-hmm. how frequent is he kicking into the net?
All the time.
Wow.
Like, all the time. But constantly. Constantly.
And
I haven't been covering the sidelines long enough to know if that's, like, an uptick or the normal amount that Jake is usually back there. But even, you know, when he missed the extra points on Sunday, he's right back at it, you know, practicing.
So if Saquon scores from 70 yards away, mm-hmm. maybe he missed a moment of practice and then was out there on the field and was like, I don't know,
yeah.
go time.
Like, he'll like warm up occasionally. Like, he's not doing it, you know, 100% of the time,
yep.
but for the most part, he is back there kicking.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. All right, with that said, we love every Wednesday at this time the opportunity to talk to Mr. Mike Quick.
Mike Quick is sponsored by the Bet Parks app. New users get up to $1,000 in casino bonus back. BetParks.com for the details. You must be 21 and in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, Mike played in the Fog Bowl and announced another unbelievable weather-affected game. This time, a better outcome. As Eagles took down the Rams in a snowstorm the other day, we love talking to Mike, and he joins us right now. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
So, Mike, give us a compare and contrast for a moment, visibility-wise. Now, you were the perspective, of course, in the booth the other day. How would you compare and contrast visibility Fog Bowl to the snow the other day?
Not even close. No comparison.
Fog way worse?
Yeah, I stood down in that fog, and you know, I could run a 10-yard route and look back to find Randall, and I could only see like the bottom part of. I could see from the waist down. I really couldn't see the upper part of him. Completely different. Although you know, it was fuzzy, the visibility, but we could still see everything and everybody. We couldn't see the numbers on the field, For the most part, you could see the players and make out the numbers, who the players were. So that wasn't a major issue. The Fog Bowl, completely different.
Yeah, and you guys would have won.
You guys would have won the fog ball if the fog hadn't rolled in. I will always believe that.
Thanks for bringing that back up.
Well, yeah.
It's not painful at all.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I needed that.
All right, so
all the good things that are going on right now. Yeah.
Exactly, Mike.
All right, Mike. So big game on Sunday. Let's get to it through the prism of a few things. So Jalen, and again, I don't mean to skew negative. He does a lot of things really well, but hold on to the ball too long is not one of the things he does well. How do they get him to just fire it away? Or do you think that the so conservative approach is wise because the defense is so good that it's just, you know what, it keeps working, keep doing it? What do you make of it?
Well, listen, look at the results. There are 32 teams in the National Football League, and we're down to the final four with the method that they go about doing things, and we're in the final four.
Yep.
It's hard to complain for me about that. The means, the way you get there, yeah, you can talk about it. You can, you know, tear it apart, take it apart. But the bottom line is you win and you advance to the next week. And man, listen, it's hard for me to complain about where they are, even the methods.
I got to complain.
What you're getting to here.
I got
to
complain, though, because I was always taught that a sack destroys a drive. I was always taught that
Absolutely.
You do everything you can to avoid sacks, and now it feels like we're just swallowing it, like taking it like it's our medicine. And
no.
Seven sacks on 27 dropbacks, it felt like throwing the ball away was the answer more often than not, and I'm not seeing that at all, and I'm just wondering why.
I agree there. I think you should have more throwaways in that rather than taking sacks. But you look at the teams that have advanced, they all are on the plus side of the turnover margin. Mm-hmm. And that is the key, that you don't give opportunities or more opportunities, especially on a short field, for the other team to have the football.
Yeah, I wonder, Mike, if things are going to change, if the looks that we get are going to start changing, because our run game has become a passing game in terms of explosivity. You know, we score at any point from anywhere on the field. So once upon a time, it made sense to add a safety into the box. Now, with Saquon's speed and with our offensive line's ability to just cover everybody up, moving a safety down doesn't necessarily prevent the long runs. You know, it's almost like it makes them easier for Saquon because he can just run right by. The guy takes the wrong angle. Split second, he's right by him. It feels almost like we're setting a new standard, doesn't it, Mike?
John, you're in a quandary when you're a defensive coordinator and you're going against this team. So what would you do?
Yeah.
The only thing you really can do is try and add more people in the box, and that's what will happen. And I'm sure that Joe Witt, their defensive coordinator, he's trying to figure out a way to slow down Saquon. But bottom line is, this is an offensive line that can dominate the line of scrimmage, and when you are able to get Saquon to the second level, that's when the fun begins. And everyone knows that, and everyone's trying to stop it, and they're having problems trying to stop it.
I agree.
It's the superpower. It's the strength of this team that they can run the ball. And if you look at Washington, I think they're 30th ranked in stopping the run game in the National Football League.
Yeah, I feel good about that.
The numbers are what the numbers are. And if it says that they are almost last in stopping the run, then you have to run the ball against this team regardless of how many people they try and put in the box. And oh, by the way, you got wide receivers that can beat their corners.
Well, how concerned should we be that our wide receivers really had a bad game? I mean, they're coming off of what felt like the least productive game of the year. It was also the least weather-friendly game of the year. So I'm telling myself, like, that's just an outlier, isn't it?
Well, I always, when you have a game like that, it just fuels you, and you're ready for the next opportunity, because the next opportunity, you're going to just go all out to make sure that you don't have back-to-back games like that. And that's what I'm expecting from Devontae, AJ, and I think Jahan Dotson will factor into this game as well.
Nice.
Yeah, Mike, so an interesting comment by someone earlier this week, I really don't remember who on our program, said maybe Washington goes with a lot of hurry-up offense to try to turn like Jalen Carter plays every play, basically, which is so ridiculously rare. And that maybe it's a way to try to stymie him, particularly late in the game, if you can wear him down, and tons of hurry-up offense. Do you think that would be a wise course of action for Washington on Sunday?
That's already what they do. I remember making a note about that in the first or second game, that they run more tempo offense, no-huddle offense, than any other team in the league. And it's worked for them. They're good at it. And, yeah, I expect that. And Vic's expecting that. Vic Fangio already knows every number associated with that offense, and he's going to have a plan for every number that's associated with that offense. That is a big part of what they do, try and limit your substitution on the defensive side by going with their tempo offense.
What do you do to slow that down? What do you do defensively if you're Vic Fangio against this young up-and-coming quarterback and a tempo offense where they can keep you in whatever personnel grouping you're in? Which really, for me, it's not that big an issue. I think with our defense, with Cooper DeJean as our nickel, we can get in an all-encompassing personnel grouping when we go nickel 42. You got your two linebackers. You got Cooper DeJean as your quasi third backer. I think you can cover anything as well as anyone else out
there.
Well,
I'll say this,
when
Sean,
you go nickel 42,
I'm not as worried about that as I am Jalen Carter, less effective in the fourth quarter, and Josh Sweat, who plays a ton of snaps, going to Vic Fangio and says, "Look, you got to get me a break here for a second."
Well, we got Jalen Hunt back.
But then Bryce Huff might have to go in. Like, I don't want Bryce Huff on the field. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that. That's my
concern.
You guys
are funny.
Well, I mean, you know what, Mike, you know who also doesn't want him on the field? Let's be real. Vic Fangio. He played him one play in the last two games. He played
We don't have to worry about him being on the
field.
Well,
I'm just saying.
There you go.
Not a functional player.
I'm just saying, if I'm Washington, I'm going fast to try to force that. That's all I'm getting at. I think it would be smart for them. So we'll see.
I think the makeup of this defense, the personnel, it lends itself to being able to make the adjustments to all of those things. John, you talk about that 4-2 with the two linebackers. And it's so easy when you're expecting run, to walk one of those linebackers, and mainly Zach Bond, down on the edge because you're used to having him on the edge, and play a five-man front.
Yeah.
There's
better angles at stopping that run, better angles at keeping your outside arm free and leveraging it all, keeping it inside of you. We have answers.
You have personnel that they are – multifaceted, so you can put these guys in different positions and they know what they're supposed to do, their responsibilities are at these positions, and this team is built the right way, is what I'm trying to say.
I agree.
I totally agree.
I'm both sides.
Yep, I agree. Yeah. All right, Mike, last thing, I'm curious, I know you're a very proud Eagle, very proud. What is your reaction to this tremendous fact? This century, which is now, we're quarter of the way through the century, basically. The Philadelphia Eagles this century have been to 8 NFC Championship games, and the Dallas Cowboys have been to 0. What is your reaction to that?
That's my reaction.
I love it, Mike.
That was a perfect reaction.
I mean, it really is wild, and it's such a testament primarily to Lurie, because he and Howie are the two guys that have been here this whole time. And obviously Howie's role elevated, over time. But, everything else has changed.
You have to realize the Dallas Cowboys are the least threatening team in our division. And that's
How
not.
How about that?
Yeah, that's not.
I don't know
change.
About that. I'd say the Giants a little bit more.
Listen, I
no,
know that.
I don't think
to,
so.
Joe, I know that we have to take this thing apart, but let me just say this. Enjoy this era of football. Enjoy where we are. As much as we have to, take this thing apart and break it down and try and figure out the what's and the why.
Yep.
Enjoy this.
I agree with you, and I appreciate that. I know what you're saying is back off Jalen. That's what you're saying, right?
I'm just saying, enjoy the ride. I'm having a blast.
Well, you should, Mike.
Yeah.
You should. I'll tell you, if you were really a tough guy, though, if you were really tough, you and Merrill would get out there on the field like Devin and announce the game from the field.
Oh, hold on.
In the snow.
Mike, yeah, why don't you get out there without sleeves on for
Mike.
This playoff game?
Yeah,
like,
why don't you
tough it out?
Yeah,
get
tough
out there
it out,
in,
quick.
Like, a T-shirt and show us who's boss.
All right, Mike.
Listen, Devin is really being tested, and this will she will find out if she really wants this job or not going forward in conditions like we had last week.
Well, here's the big question I want to know. If the Eagles get a ring, does Devin get a ring for like a quarter of the service of the year?
Of course.
Well, I'm just above my pay grade. So
good answer, Mike.
All right, Mike, stay well, man. We'll talk to you next week when the Eagles will be preparing for the Super Bowl. Thanks, Mike.
Take care, guys.
All right, good stuff, man. Mike. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more in a 2025 Armin Chevy Trailblazer, starting at only $23,995. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Poll question, should Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins be in the Hall of Fame? Yes, for both of them. Choice B, Utley only. Choice C, Rollins only. Choice D, neither of them. Yesterday, both of them fell short yet again.